Eka Mamumba Bami apology. That's the only one I have.
Oh, only Honorable Mbabama? Okay.
All right, thanks.
No, that's fine.
Salo, the Tambiga with the phone and got out for magic. Yeah, I go to your matches now, I'm
trying to win. Oh, stay at home and a visit.
Tshana sinkosi yakho yomsanda.
Othobel. Nda.
Eh nda.
Eh awaya othobel.
Ah no ndovuwa nga manda man, urini.
Hey, it was for these virtual things and the operational proper, you'd see me, I'm on the floor and I'm going. It doesn't go through virtual, no, this thing.
No, we can leave that to Mam Nyamza and KK, you know. We can't allow you.
No, that's good.
No, good to see you. Yeah. So, for what's that? I'm here. I'm sitting here quietly.
Mam Kwade.
Hello, Chief.
Oh, how are you, Mama Sting?
I'm fine. I think I'm just going to switch off the light here on top of me.
Yeah.
How you doing, Chief?
Keeping all right. Just busy here in the village, but we are keeping all right.
That's good, yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Also busy here on the farm and with the communities and the constituency and
No, you're doing good that side. When are you doing other food parcels?
Next week,
huh?
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. Wanting to see what else to do this side. You know, our people are needing support, so we're trying to see how to reach out to them.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just switching off the light here on top of me.
Okay.
Hello, Chair.
Evo.
I've just received another apology, Chair, from DM Dlamini. He's still off sick.
Okie doke.
Okay, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
I sent you an email now about half an hour ago about the department not sending us the information that we're requesting.
The department doesn't send us information?
No.
Okay, I'll have a look at the email and I'll see what it is exactly you have seen that has not come through, and then we can be able to raise it.
Okay. Thank you, Chase.
You sent it to my direct email, huh?
No, it was sent to the parliament
Okay, that one is sitting with my secretary. Send it to teammandela@gmail.com. You got that?
Okay, I will do so. Yeah.
Yeah, just one word, chiefmandela@gmail.com, because I can access that through my iPhone. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'll send it, to you now.
Thanks.
Goedemiddag, good afternoon everybody.
Ntate Masipa, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks yourself, Chair.
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Let's get
the ship started.
Honorable members, good afternoon and welcome to our portfolio committee meeting on agriculture, land reform and rural development. We have taken this opportunity to invite the department to join us on this session, as well as Ingonyama Transport. Let me therefore welcome the Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister Skwacha, the DG Ubaum Dushabane, as well as the officials of the department. Also, let me welcome the Ingonyama Transport officials that are here with us, particularly the Chair, Ubau Judge Ngwenya, and their Royal Highnesses Ondabe Zitha, that form part of Ingonyama Trust Board. Welcome to this afternoon session. Honorable Minister, we have invited the department to join us on this session of the portfolio committee so that we can be able to ascertain what the performance of programs with a focus on the achievement on set targets, challenges, and mechanisms put in place to address the weaknesses and challenges. We also requested to further highlight how the program performance in the quarters under consideration impacted delivery on service to beneficiaries or clients of different programs of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. A detailed account of the expenditure trends and outcomes with reasons for over or under expenditure and impact on the planned interventions and services delivery. The service delivery performance and detailed financial reports of ALA, that being Agriculture Land Holding Account, and how expenditure outcomes have impacted on the acquisition and redistribution of land, as well as the status report regarding the implementation of the Auditor General of South Africa's recommendations, i.e. the improvement plan. And last but not least, the responses and progress report on the implementation of the 2019 Budget Review Recommendations report. I will therefore, Honorable Minister, invite you give us an opening address and then hand over to the officials that will be doing the presentation. I must say with this put to the Honorable Minister, I have already had an indication from Honorable Steyn that the presentation has not completely or entirely addressed the issues raised by the committee on this invitation. But I would like to give the minister the benefit of the doubt in the sense that she is going to give an opening address and she may be able to touch on the issues that we have raised. Therefore, I want to request the minister to go on with the opening address and then also hand over to the department. We will then have in hand both the presentation of the minister and the department, be able to ascertain if all the issues we raised have been covered. Honorable Minister.
Today, therefore, Chairperson, we will be dealing with the performance of Quarter 3, Quarter 4 of Dr. DLR and Ingonyama Trust Board. In the last meeting, Chairperson and Honourable Members, after you reflected on our budget presentation, you, after your own reflection and observation, made particular decisions and recommendations on what you thought were important matters. That in particular related to Ingonyama Trust. You actually raised your concerns about the number of staff that are on precautionary leave, the vacancy rate. You also raised concern about the inability to indicate how the Ngwenyama Trust board in its functioning support the empowerment of youth and women. You also indicated your displeasure at the fact that the Ngwenyama Trust Board did not put their budget in time as is expected by our parliamentary rules. These were very important and very serious matters, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I must therefore report to you that immediately what I did was actually to convene an urgent meeting with the Ngwenyama Trust Board, and that meeting took place yesterday to address the issues of concerns that as the Portfolio Committee you have raised, but also to deal with issues which emanate from the Act in terms of the mandate of the board and our responsibility. We agreed, Chairperson, that some of these matters might not be dealt with in our meeting yesterday, and we agreed that we will deal with those before the end of June. Chairperson, the Ngwenyama Trust Board, when we met yesterday, had already sent to us their revised budget. They then explained to us what caused the delay that made all of us to find ourselves coming to you without the budget as it was expected. They indicated to us that actually the precautionary leave of the senior officials in part emanates from this very reason and many others. The board has actually instituted an investigation on a broad range of issues that relate to the conduct and behavior of these officials. And as soon as that report, which they think is close to completion, is done, they will then indicate to us as the minister, and I'm sure to the committee, on what were the findings of that report and what remedial action are being put. We are therefore dealing with the budget together with the board now. They've also looked at what is allowed in their regulation, that out of the resources that the board receives as income for communities, 10% of that can go towards support the administration of the board. They also indicated that the increased nature of the budget owes to the work that the board has to do, working with the traditional councils to actually support their work. Some of that relates to issues of servitude, of your network industries in particular, where the board working with the traditional councils must make necessary approvals and decisions and leases thereof which would allow for those servitudes. Secondly, they also indicated that, for instance, as the board, in the management of the trust and the trust land in particular, decisions on lease or not to lease in Ngwenyama Trust land actually emanate from the traditional councils' consent. And once the traditional councils with their communities agreed on such lease to be given for whatever investments or other uses by even the community, it is at that point that the Ngwenyama Trust Board actually issue those leases. But to reach that stage, there's a lot of engagement that happens between the board, the other stakeholders who may be interested parties, together with the traditional council. So that was the explanation, and we agreed that maybe in future, the way they present the budget must be very transparent and clear so that the members of the Portfolio Committee can actually know what the board's activities are on a day-to-day basis that would account for the particular budget. Also, they indicated to us, Chairperson, that the inability to perform some of the expected programs as it was highlighted by the portfolio committees relate to the budgetary issues, but at the same time, it is about this delineation of the responsibilities between the board, what the board must do in its management, and what the traditional councils must do as the beneficiaries of the resources that accrue from the leases and the use of their land. We then agreed, Chairperson, that it would be important for both ourselves and the board to really go back to the legislation and look at what is the mandate of the Ingonyama Trust Board. Just to mention two things, Chairperson, which we agreed we need to deliberate on. One, in the Act, the Ingonyama Trust Act, as amended in 1997, actually states that the responsibility of the ITB is to administer the trust and the trust land and also deal with issues of lease, pledges, disposal of the Ingonyama Trust land thereof. The other issue that emanates from that legislation says, despite this responsibility of the board and the land in question, nothing stops national government to actually exercise its responsibility in respect to land reform, particularly, and it says, after consultation with Ingonyama. So what we agreed is that we need to have a broad discussion so that we are at one about what the interpretation of this act is and our responsibility thereof. And how do we develop policies so that there is guidance on how the administration, the management of the trust land in particular is done, so that there's transparency, not only to the board, but also to the stakeholders such as yourself, as the portfolio committee was supposed to oversee our work. So we agreed, Chairperson, that we will meet before the end of June as the board and department to really go through these issues. And also, while we do appreciate that this may be the purview of the traditional council, but it will be good for all of us to know how the traditional council, when they receive the resources on the leases of their land, for instance, how do they work and how do they empower their community? The other matter they briefed us on was the litigation matter between the Tendele Coal Mining Company and the community of, I think it's Gwamsane, if I'm right. And they did indicate that that was in relation to the phase two of the mining, which no approval or lease has yet been given. The contestation of the mine is that the community, particularly 24 household concerned, are actually demanding more compensation than, in their view, is fair and just. So that matter is still in the courts. We were so briefed by the trust. Chairperson, I want to say that in respect of the presentation by the department on quarter three and quarter four, there are indeed areas where spending did not go according to what we had all hoped we would. Part of that owes to the concurrence that needed to happen between ourselves and the Ministry of Finance. And that relates specifically to the matter of the stimulus package. You would know, Chairperson, that the Department of Dr. DLR had actually indicated to this committee that as part of their contribution to the stimulus package that was put in place by, or rather announced by, President in 2018, there are about 262 farms that they said if they were revitalized by the state.
Honorable Minister, are you still with us? Honorable Minister's screen seems to have frozen. Amutidela.
She's still on the line, Chair, but she seems to have frozen.
Yeah, I can see she's still on the line, but there might be a network problem on her part. Honorable Minister.
She's off the line. She might be trying to connect again.
Okay. Maudiji. Shabana Okona.
Good afternoon, Chair. The Minister has
rejoined. I think the system had kicked me out.
Okay. Now, we do have these technical glitches, Honorable Minister. Don't worry about it. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to indicate that in respect of that stimulus package, there was work that was already done in terms of contracting certain commodity organizations to actually assist us to support those farmers. However, we were then approached by Treasury to say the way in which we have undertaken our procurement processes will actually result in the audit query, and therefore we needed to change. So we worked with the Treasury to actually address those changes. And in October 30, we actually wrote a letter to seek concurrence with the Minister of Finance to be able to follow the process that was so agreed between us and Treasury. And I must say, Chairperson, that that process of approval from Treasury took longer. We received the letter of concurrence from the Minister of Finance on the 30th of December. At the time, actually it was the 18th of December, and at the time, we could not continue with the procurement as it was expected. So I wanted to raise those upfront, Chairperson, just as a highlight of some of the difficulties that you will note in our presentation that would account why some of the issues that we had tabled in terms of our annual performance and the targets for quarter three and four were not achieved. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for those opening remarks on my side. I will now hand over to the Director General.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for that opening address. We'll then listen to the DG.
Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and colleagues, thank you very much. Yes, Chairperson, we have prepared presentations as you have outlined, but I wish to upfront, Chairperson, declare that it is correct that the BRRR report is not part of the package that has been circulated. There has been some technical difficulties that are internal that we are trying to resolve as we grapple to bring together all of this information. But we should be submitting to the committee my sincere apologies that that report is not part of our presentations today. But we do have the presentations for quarter three and quarter four and the financial performance presentation. Mr. Rendani Sadiki will lead us on the two quarterly reports, and Ms. Violet Machiza is going to present the financial performance report. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good afternoon to Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, my Minister, and the DG and colleagues. Afternoon. I'll be presenting the third and fourth quarter report. However, due to time limitation, I would ask for permission to present using the fourth quarter report because it has both quarter three and quarter four, if the chairperson so permits.
No, please go ahead, Ms. Adike.
Thank you. The controller, can you put it on a slide motion, please? Thank you. Can you put it on a slideshow, please? Okay. On the outline of the presentation, we've got the performance scorecard followed by the program performance, a program, and the performance barometer at the end. I will try to run with a number two, so that we are able to reach the barometer at the end. You can pass, I think here the performance is between 0 and 99%. We regard it as non-performance. So anything that is below 100% is non-performance. It means the target has not been achieved, and anything at 100% we have achieved. On the performance scorecard, which is the summary, the department performed at 30%. You will see even the third quarter, we were sitting at 30%. And that is mostly due to the fact that anything that is less than 90, 100% is the non-achievement of targets. You will see that we've got zero performance at administration, which is the 30 days payments of invoices within 30 days. And followed by the rural development at 0% and land reform at 25%, 30% is the overall, with restitution having achieved 100% on quarter four and 50% on quarter three. I think you will see where there are zeros. You will see that at some we are sitting at 95%, but because it's not 100%, it's put as though it's zero. Overall, we had 23 targets. We have achieved 16 of those. This is just the overall performance from quarter one to quarter four. You will see we started at 55%, and mostly is the rollover of the projects that could not be finalized at end of 31 March that tends to spill to the first quarter, and first quarter seems to have overperformed to the performance of the department throughout the second, third, and fourth quarter. Next. This is again just an indication of how we have fared throughout the year. You can see that we have plateaued in quarter four, meaning that we have remained in difference. There was not much movement between quarter three and four.
Yeah, who's that? Mr. Dicke, please proceed.
Okay, thank you. We have achieved half of our targets on the third quarter in a row, but the negative impact will be fed throughout the annual targets. And next. This is just a trend analysis in graphic format for the four quarters, and you can see that program five has regressed, whereas program four, which is restitution, has improved from 50% to 100%. We've got finance that only tried to meet 50% during the second quarter, with third and fourth sitting at an overall performance of about 95%, therefore zero. And program two, which has tried to improve but could not reach the performance of quarter one and quarter two. Program three is same as program one. You can see quarter one, we performed, quarter two, we regressed, and third and fourth is sitting at zero. Next. This is the past 5 years, the performance of the department in the past 5 years. And you can see that for program 2 and 4, we have seen an improvement compared to prior years. 3 and 5, they have regressed, while program 1 has not improved at all. They have remained at 0% for the last 3 years. Next. And this is the summary per program. I will try and run as fast as I can because I want us to be able to get to the final summary before the chair stops me. Finance is sitting, which is the 30% payment of invoices within 30 days, achieved 95%, hence you are seeing zero. And the biggest problem there is the ALA, the agricultural land holding account with invoices that are taking too long to be paid. They were sitting at 51%, followed by the restitution and the Mpumalanga and KZN, with national office sitting at 89%. However, we do have pockets of success like the SG office, deeds, Free State and Limpopo that were sitting at 100%. Next. On program 2, we have seen the improvement, as I said during the summary, that with the draft land use master plan that was achieved. Next. The development of a national special development framework, the implementation of the strategy, it has been achieved. Percentage of deeds made available within 7 days, we did not achieve. We're sitting at 91%, and there were quite a number of issues that made us to perform so bad. There were lockdown issues that came during March, and there was load shedding issues that I think the last half of the year we had that going on for some time, and that had a negative impact. So we, in order to reverse the negative performance over time, was scheduled to be worked, but unfortunately then we closed before the final, the last week of the year we had closed due to lockdown. Next. The deed transformation policy approved, it was not achieved. The process was put on hold because of many other things which you will be briefed on when we do the legislation. Next. Number of maps that were supposed to be produced is 56. We achieved 56. The target was 45. Next. Average number of working days taken to process registrable diagrams. We had said 14, we achieved 18 days. And the biggest problem was the surveyors were high number of, well, the surveyors submitted the unacceptable work that was submitted by surveyors. Had an impact, a negative impact, so we will be having ongoing engagement with the professional land surveyors to improve the quality of work submitted going forward, including the filling of the vacant posts, because they have a negative impact of on our ability to achieve the targets. Next. Number of state land parcels surveyed, we had targeted Limpopo 1,500, we achieved zero, and that was because the DPWI, Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, were given funding by the National Treasury to proceed with this work. And therefore, there is no intervention required here for us, except that we just need to collaborate and coordinate the work with the National Treasury. Next. Program 3, we had 122 infrastructure projects that we were supposed to finish. We only finished 30. And the biggest problem was previous quarters we had overachievements, but in this quarter we did not achieve. We would be aligning quarterly targets based on previous achievements. 277 enterprises were to be supported. The fourth quarter target was 22. We achieved 14, and there is a comprehensive explanation per province why we did not achieve. I will not go through that. Next. 27 functional FPSU. We had a target of 15 in the fourth quarter. We achieved only one. And again, we have explanation per province, which is quite detailed. Next.
2 minutes remaining.
Perhaps we can quickly run to slide number 44. Yeah, on the performance barometer, this is just a summary for all the quarters that also compares to how we have fared compared to the annual target. So on the go back, one slide back. Go forward, yes. You have jumped again. It must start with the invoices. Yes. On the invoices, the target was 100%. We have achieved 95%. Unqualified audit report, it was met. We got an unqualified audit report. Land use master plan, the draft is there. It was achieved. National development framework strategy developed. It was achieved. Next page. On the percentage of this made available within 7 days, we achieved 95%. I've explained the reasons. The DIS transformation policy approved, it was 100% missed. Number of maps, of national map series produced, we had targeted 200. We have overachieved 222. Number of working days to process registrable diagrams, there were supposed to be 14, we missed by 1 day, we're sitting at 15. Number of state land parcels surveyed, 1,500 is the ones that have been moved to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Next page. A number of infrastructure projects completed, the target was 122, we achieved 127. Rural enterprises supported, the target was 227, we achieved 175, which is sitting at 77%. Farmer production support units that were to be made functional, we achieved only 3, sitting at 11%. Skills development opportunities provided in rural development initiatives, we missed it. We are at 93%, having achieved 6,921 against 7,465. Number of job opportunities created in rural development, we are at 92%, sitting at 5,438 versus 5,909 target. And number of land claims finalized, we missed it again. We are at 94%. Compared to 637, we achieved 603. Number of land claims settled, we've got 435, which is an overachievement compared to a target of 428. Hectares acquired, 94,000 were supposed to be acquired. We achieved 92,000, which is 99%. Hectares allocated to smallholder farmers, we overachieved, it's 186%. Next page. Smallholder farmer beneficiaries allocated land, we missed it, we are at 87% versus the target of 89, we achieved 77. Number of farmers supported through the LDS program, we supported 52 instead of 162. One household, 1 hectare, we supported 53 versus 2,656, which is 2%. and number of communal property associations supported to be compliant with the legislation. We have overachieved, sitting at 107% number of labor tenants applications. We have missed it. We only managed to achieve 498 against a target of 3,666 or 14%. Number of hectares allocated to farm dwellers and labor tenants, we have overachieved. We're sitting at 109%, which is achievement of 9,500 versus 8,750. Next. I think we have come to the end, and overall performance is at 30% if we do not take into account the 90%, 95%, 99% that we have seen throughout the presentation. Thank you.
Ndiyalibona.
Ndiyalibona.
DG.
Chair, perhaps, I don't know if the Chair would like us to present the financial performance information and then...
Yes, please go through that so we may have honourable members go into the two presentations.
Okay, Honour Chair. Hello,
yes.
Mr. Mandela.
Yes,
Chair.
Honorable
Mukwedi. Hello?
Honorable Mukwedi.
Can I continue, Chair?
Yes, what is it?
The Chair, can, when we receive the next presentation, can the person moving the slide be on par with the presenter? Because it was difficult to follow on the previous presentation.
Okay, noted. Proceed, DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Ms. Violet Machiza is going to present the financial performance.
Yes, if we can be brief on that, just straight to the point, so we can enable honourable members enough time for questions.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, members of Portfolio Committee, Minister and DG. For the sake of time, I'm going to request that we must start at the slide number 4, where it's written programs stroke branches, so that I can take slide number 4, where it's written programs and branches. The next slide. Thank you. You have passed it.
How?
Slide number 4.
Yes.
Yes.
Slide number 4.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the allocation that we had, Chairperson, we were having 10.8 billion. During quarter 3, expenditure was sitting at 68.6%, while in terms of administration, which is program 1, we were sitting at 63.8%. We have spent 1.1 billion. In terms of program 2, we spent 489 from the budget allocation of 703. Program 3, we have spent 1 billion from 1.7 billion. Restitution, we have spent 2.7 billion from the allocation of 3.5 billion. And overall, we're sitting at 68.6%. I'm going to request that we move to the slide written economy classification, which is slide number 6. The next slide.
We are on slide number 6.
Chair?
Continue, Mayor.
On my screen, I'm on slide.
Let me share the meeting, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With this slide, it shows us the allocation and expenditure per economic classification. We have spent 1.8 billion from the allocation of 2.4 billion on compensation of employees, which was 75.1%, while goods and services were spent 1.3 billion, which is 56.4%. Transfer and subsidies were spent 3.7 from the allocation of 5.2 billion, which is 70%. If you look in terms of the payment of capital assets, we'll spend 474 million from the allocation of 628. When we look in terms of goods and service, the underspending there, it was due to the allocation that is sitting within Program 3, which is REIT and REIT, because the allocation where we support our beneficiaries is sitting there. And again, in terms of the payment on capital assets, the underspending was due to the PPP because we're waiting for the minister's concurrence. When the minister was giving brief in terms of what we were waiting for the concurrence from Treasury, it was relating to PPP and the implementation of the LDS project. So can we move to slide number 8, which is written priority project? Thank you. In terms of this slide, it shows us the allocation for the projects that we have to implement within the department, excluding compensation of employees. In terms of REIT, we have spent 417 million. This is the branch where we have to implement our construction projects. Rural Enterprise and Industrial Development, we have spent 177 million from the allocation of 366, while in terms of NARISEC, 193, from the allocation of 340. You can see that in terms of restitution, we're sitting at 73.2% while the allocation is excluding COE. And then we can move. The next slide, Chairperson, for the sake of time, is just showing the detailed household allocation per provincial office. I'm going to request that we skip slide number 9, because I already spoken to at the summary level. I will go to quarter 4 performance. And then from quarter 4, let's go to slide written programs and branches, which is slide number 4 in terms of quarter 4. In terms of, in terms of performance now, this is expenditure at the end of financial year, the department is sitting at 99.9%. While in terms of administration, we're sitting at 99.8%, Program 2, 100%, Program 3, which is rural development, 99.7%. The other core branches have spent 100%. If I can talk to Program 1. Program 1, where you can see office accommodation and corporate service. Office accommodation, that's where we spend our allocation for our office accommodation for the whole country, for all provinces. And we've got allocation there for the PPP. So allocation for the PPP, we're not able to spend in terms of the construction allocation that was sitting there. Corporate service, that's where we pay our software licenses. We're not able to pay the software licenses that commitment happened in March. We have to pay them in April after service has been rendered. So if you look in terms of Program 3, Rural Development, REIT and NARISEC, especially coming to REIT, that's where our underspending was, because this is where we have to implement a construction work. We get invoice where service has been rendered. So if invoices are not yet submitted, we are not able to spend the whole allocation. So in terms of the performance, if you can see in terms of land reform, we have increased allocation for ALA for 277 million during end of March for us to be able to fund expenditure relating to COVID, and 100 million that was transferred to land bank, but at the end we went back and request the 100 million to be returned to the department, and it was paid back to the department. I'm going to request that we must move to slide number 6, which is economic classification in terms of this quarter 4. The next slide.
Can you conclude? You've got 3 minutes.
Okay. Let me go to the allocation, the slide for ALA, which is going to be closer to the next Next slide. So next slide, let's go to quarter four, because quarter three also is going to be included there. Quarter four. Thank you. In terms of ALA, let's move to the where we've got allocation so that members can see how much was allocated in terms of this year. Thank you very much. The slide before, yes, thank you. In terms of allocation for ALA, we were sitting at 2.7 billion. Here, that's where we have to procure land and have to pay for land development support program and finalizing the recap commitment and also other operational that must happen within the entity. End of financial year, we were sitting at 49%, and then we had commitment of 1.1 billion and accruals for end of financial year. In terms of allocation for ALA, because it's an entity, where we've got commitment, we have to submit requests from Treasury to get retainment of the allocation of the previous financial year. When Treasury approves, we are able to get the funding to pay the commitment. In terms of the department, in terms of accruals, accruals, we were having 20 million for the DRDLR, and then those commitments are relating to a service that were rendered during February, March, where suppliers were not yet submitted the invoices, but we are able to pay them during current financial year. Now they are going to be paid from the new department, Jalad. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. DG?
Chairperson, thank you very much. That will be the end of the presentation.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, there's the presentation that has been put before you. We will have 20 minutes of questions and questions of clarity. Then we will give 20 minutes to the department to respond to the issues raised by honorable members. And we start with Honorable Klapper.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, this is a very disturbing picture that is being painted by the presentations. Quarter three and quarter four, the department achieved only 30%, which means 70% of the planned targets were not achieved, which then equates to the fact that 70% of services that could have been delivered were not delivered to the farming communities. I'm sitting here and thinking that will I be right if I say COVID rescued the farmers? Because if this is the picture, it means the relief they are getting from COVID probably makes up to this limitation that the department had. The minister has explained the reasons why this underperformance and everything, issues of moratorium. My particular concern is for rural development chain, program three. None of the planned targets under this program were achieved. The very same program that speaks to national development plan, that of creating viable, sustainable communities that must also contribute to food security in this poverty that we are in. The moratorium was there for infrastructure project in the main. My question here is that has this moratorium been lifted for now? Number two, the issue that the department has always planned to be able to pay service providers invoices within 13 days, it's not happening. At least they achieved 95%, then it has to be 100%. What plans are there in place when we go to the next 5 years, the next strategic goals that they have placed, everything that they've put in place, not to put the small businesses that are doing business with this department at stake. What is it that they are doing in this regard? But I'm saying it's a very disturbing situation. The horses have bolted, it's end of quarter four, and we have to move forward now in a reconfigured department. My prayer is that, Minister, like we have indicated, got your ducks in the row to make sure that this picture does not repeat itself. It cannot be correct that 30% in both quarters. I mean, when we look at quarter two, the only time they performed was quarter one, 55%. From there, it was 29, 30, 30. When everybody else was working, Dr. DLR, this former department, was on holiday in the day. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlatsi.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I would follow suit from what Honorable Klappe has indicated. This is a very, very disturbing picture in as far as the department is concerned. And I must reiterate this particular position that we have said in the last quarter review when we indicated that the performance of that 29%, we were told that it will be recovered in quarter three and quarter four. In quarter three and quarter four, the worst happened. That means even things that were supposed to have recovered then, there was no way that we would have recovered. Chair, my questions will be on the the accruals. I just want to check with the department whether did they request rollovers in as far as the commitments that were still outstanding in the last financial year. If yes, how much was the amount and has the Treasury approved? Chair, our job as members of this committee is to make to do oversight on the department, not necessarily to tell them how to do things. But my concern is when it comes to issues of invoices of services that are rendered. Those who have worked in finance will tell you that when financial year closes on the 31st of March, even the next 2 weeks, Treasury always allows you to pay, to make payments in as far as invoices are concerned. Now, I just want to check with the department, because we're going to have this particular problem of department saying to us, because of services that were rendered at the end of March, therefore we couldn't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it will be paid in the next financial year. Couldn't they have made arrangements with service providers to make sure that those invoices are paid on time? And lastly, Chair, what has been, okay, on the accruals I'm done, the money that has not been spent, had it all been sent back to Treasury, of course, but had the, does it mean that everything that was not spent, it has gone to COVID-19, therefore they will not necessarily have AMA rollovers? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, yes, there's nothing more that I can add regarding the disappointment that I'm feeling in this department, Chairperson. I want to firstly start by asking the DG or the Minister or anyone if they feel proud of the work that this department has achieved in the last quarters of the previous financial year, Chairperson. And I want to also find out the 1.3 billion rand that was spent under the agricultural disaster COVID fund. Exactly where did it come from? If I read some of these documents, it looks to me like it was money that was then put under the ALA account or somewhere in there. because on slide 2 of the presentation, they speak about transfers and subsidies into that account and also towards land bank. So I think, Chairperson, we need to get a full picture of the funds that were not spent, the rollovers, the money that was not given to certain projects. I don't think, Chairperson, it's fair to now say that certain things were not happening during the last third and fourth quarters of last year. I'll tell you honestly, Chair, I feel like that money was just dumped somewhere. It was spent under a disaster fund, and we don't have oversight over that, Chairperson. And the letter that I sent you, unfortunately, I haven't received it yet, was to request that we get full details of that 1.3 billion rand spent, and not like we were promised last time with AgriParks, that we will get full details of AgriPark funding, and then we never get it yet. I am really at the point of taking this department to SCOPA to get full details of the financial of what's going on here, because we are getting very, very flimsy reports. So, Chairperson, I would request that we get all of that information that we asked all the time. I'm also disappointed, Chair, that we constantly get calls from desperate farmers out there trying to finalize land reform projects, trying to do things on the land, but they can't even get hold of the officials, never mind getting responses from them. And that doesn't need money. Chairperson, we have been working full steam during this COVID period from homes, from a phone, from a laptop. What stops the department from working full time? Chair, I don't have other words. I just think that we need to start acting as a committee and get the information that we constantly ask and we never get. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias. Dr. Matthias.
Chairperson. Hello, Chairperson.
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Matthias.
Look, it was Mother Tung Che who says that not everything that shines is gold. Not everything that shines is diamond. The report presented here paints a picture of as if though everything that the department has done so far is gold. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes. You're audible.
Whereas the opposite is true. And that being the case, I agree with fellow colleagues and members that this report leaves much to be desired. And that being the case, what kind of report is this that should, the committee should approve? I submit that the work of this department we need to move or take what is called paradigm shift and move away from looking at its work in terms of the program areas. Because working on a basis and evaluating the work of the department on the basis of that is misleading and does not give a true picture of the work of the department. This department's work must be evaluated on the basis of the socio-economic impact in changing the lives of our people out there, in changing for the better the quality of life of our people. And if we have to do that, there would be much to be desired from this department. It's very sad. This department's work must be looked from about 5 perspectives, Chairperson. The first perspective is agricultural development and infrastructure in the rural side. What amount of work and the quality of such work can be shown, can be presented before us as having impacted on the agricultural development and impacting on the rural infrastructure. That's the first point. The second perspective is the economic growth of the rural side, the countryside. Is there any growth? If we have to go to the eastern rural Eastern Cape, in the eastern Pondoland, is there any quality work that you can point that the department has done in improving the economic growth of our people there? Thirdly, which is the third perspective, is to look at urban and rural integration, because this is department calls itself Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. To what extent have we kept the migration of our people from the rural Eastern Cape, rural Limpopo, rural Northern Cape, from the urban centers of Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, and so forth? That can only be achieved if this department is hard at work, officials do their work, for which is not the case currently. The rural urban continues to undermine the gains of democratic dispensation. Lastly, is the area of agri-processing and industrialization. It's said that this department cannot point anything towards that direction, Honorable Chair, with due respect, and I would really want to beg your indulgence. That is only if we speak that officials will start to take their work serious. We don't have to be tip-top around poor performance by officials, which is disappointing and it reflects on us as public representatives. Can we please be hard on these officials so that they start to take their work serious and take us serious? Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias. Honorable Tshwete. Mamo Tshwete.
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, it's as if, Chair, actually I will follow suit of my colleagues, Chair, that indeed the report is unacceptable from the department, especially, Chair, I'm recalling when they were presenting to the committee, presenting the second quarter of their budget, the department actually indicated that the first and second quarter is a bit challenging, then they will improve on the third and fourth quarter, if I recall correctly. Now the third and fourth quarter is even worse. 30% spent. I'm wondering, Chair, if the department cannot spend on program 3, 4, 5, which in my understanding is the departmental core business. Then where does that leave the actual farmers and other issues that the department has to attend to? It's really disappointing, Chair. It's really disappointing. 30% is not enough. I'm reminded of what Honorable Maso would continuously emphasize in these committees of a consequence management. I think, Chair, it's about time that we really start to see some of those consequences, consequence management being implemented. For now, Chair, can I pass? And can I reserve my comments? Thank you.
Honorable Kapa. Tembumko, Honorable Kapa. Honorable Kaba. Okay, Honorable Mepriet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry. Maybe just to add to what my colleagues have said, I am really worried about the underspending of the department. I also recall that we were promised that the third and the fourth quarter will look better, and I am hoping that the third and the fourth quarter look the way they do because of the merging of departments and all of that. I really do. But Chairperson, I would like to see as well, what are we doing with that funding, and is the underspending the reason that we are performing so poorly in terms of our programs and in terms of our outputs? That is really frustrating and worrying to me. And specifically the way the department is answering the questions, and to add to some of my colleagues, in Afrikaans, we have a very nice word that says ontwijkend. And I really do feel that the department to a large extent is misleading us, or not necessarily misleading us, but they are giving us all kinds of other information even though they know what we want. But I would just like to focus my questions on FPSUs, Chairperson. The target was 27 FPSUs, I think, if I remember correctly, for the third quarter, and then 15 the annual target was 27. And the presenter spoke to only three that are actually active. I would like to know, where are they? The three that are active in terms of the 27. If memory serves correctly, we have received the list of the 27 that we are focusing on. But what can the department brief us on, why only those three are active and successful? Why are they only working? What was done extra in terms of those three to get them active and working? And then how do we measure and monitor the success of these FPSUs? Because my worry is, Chairperson, we've been speaking a lot about agri-parks and we've been speaking a lot about FPSUs, and we're continually backtracking. This is our plan. Oh, no, it's unrealistic. We're not going to get to this. And my problem is we've seen, you know, our rural communities suffering, our rural agriculture suffering specifically in terms of a lot of things, not having market access, not having the proper support. And I do feel that the department is lagging in terms of FPSUs, and that if they prioritize that, we would actually see assistance going to our rural communities. So I would like the department to just give us those details. And I think my colleagues have covered to a large extent my dissatisfaction with the department as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mabret Ndabezitha. Honorable Kabe Khulu. Honorable Inkosi Cebe Khulu. Honorable Mahlo. Honorable Mahlo. Honorable Montwedi.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, there was an issue on the moratorium by the Minister on filling of vacancies. That has actually contributed to a serious amount that was actually not spent on the administration. I want to check how far, what is the status with regards to lifting of that moratorium, since now that the minister normally say the NMOC process has actually concluded. What is the status with regard to that, Chair? Now, another issue, Chair, that actually I battled, I wanted to tell you that I battled to follow on the two presentations, because the person who was moving the slide was actually not even anywhere closer to the person that was making the presentation, and it made it very difficult for one to actually follow. I want to speak on the issue of there was overspending. on the restitution and land reform program, which has actually contributed to 4.9% or 344 million of over expenditure by the department. Now, with that, Chair, the department then received an approval from the land, from National Treasury for the department to assist to shift about 400 million from the admin to ALHA and to the land bank. I want to check with the minister, why when there are financial problems at the land bank, the department has to intervene, whereas land bank continues to report to National Treasury. Why is National Treasury unable to intervene when land bank has got problems? Because we are sitting with the small-scale farmers, we're sitting with farmers that need assistance of the department. The department is unable to do that, but it can take money to land bank through the instruction of the National Treasury, even though land bank reports to National Treasury. Why can't National Treasury intervene when land bank needs financial rescue or any other resources, Chair? Now, your department, Minister, does transfers to whether your land bank or any other, your provinces. Now, when you say you have spent so much, I want to check, have you included actual expenditure on the transfers that you have made, in particular to the land bank? I'm asking this because you just said there was about 1.3 billion for the stimulus package that is sitting with the land bank, not with the land bank, that is sitting with commodity organizations so that they must assist both livestock and crop farmers. And I can tell you from where I'm sitting, Minister, even though the Minister of Finance signed on the 30th of December 2019, you have not moved with the actual implementation. Do you take money, dump it with commodity organizations, and you come back to your organizations and you report that there was expenditure? Because there's no expenditure. Some of the farmers that should have received that money have not received the money because of problems that they find themselves with a commodity organization. The other thing is on the 150 on the COVID-19 applications. Okay, now I want to check. Let me conclude by saying, is there a link between the non-financial report and the financial report? I don't see a link, because the non-financial report for quarter three and four says that the performance was about 30%. And yet on the financial report, you have overspent with an amount of 344 million or 4.9%. I just want to check, is there a link between those two presentations that you've just did? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. Let me also share the same sentiments with the rest of my colleagues, honorable minister. But I would want to talk directly to the presentation that has been put to us. In terms of the number of rural enterprises that have been supported, you only managed to underscore 71%. What has been the reason that you have not been able to give full support to 100% of these rural enterprises? Because the department's core mandate is to uplift rural communities. So what has led to the department not being able to fulfill that? But also, if you look at the number of farmer production support units, you are sitting at 4%, of which in terms of ensuring we are able to meet food security for our people, how are we then not able to ensure that these FPSUs are fully functional and are supported and are realized? And you are sitting at a mere 4%. But even with those that have been achieved, if it is 12 out of 27, if I'm reading it correctly, where are the ones that have been achieved located? Because we would like, as the portfolio committee, to do oversight on this PSU. So it will be good for you to highlight exactly where they are located. And if I may move down to the issue of land claims finalized and land claims settled. Land is a very crucial issue to our people today. We have been undergoing a process of the amendment of Section 25, and as the ad hoc committee been able to participate in the, we have had our people call for land hunger, ensuring that they want to see land transferred to our people now. Some have actually spoken to a date of the 10th of April, which shows just how important this issue of land needs to be attended to. So what has given rise to that you are only able to achieve 62% of land claims finalized and then land claims settled 74%? If you can be able to address that, because our people want to see a rapid transformation of land to its rightful owners. And we are not seeing that being attended to with speed. And if I move on to the number of farms supported through the Land Development Support Program, we've only been able to achieve 31%. And this is one of the core mandates of the department. What are the reasons that have given a rise to that and led to such poor achievements? But I think this one pains me most, Honorable Minister, because I'm from the rural community, and I'm coming out of a village located in the banks of Mbashe River, where our people in rural communities have their homes and their household gardens. And then to find that in the number of households supported under the one household, 1 hectare program, you have only achieved a mere 1%. That is a shocking number to even say. Our people need such support. Our people in rural areas in particular look to government for support. And when this support is not forthcoming and when monies are not utilized for the real core purpose of what could alleviate poverty, particularly in rural areas, because with these household gardens, our families and our communities are able to feed themselves through this one household, one hectare program. They are able to feed themselves. How can then such a department be able to only achieve 1% in it? But also, if you look at the number of labor tenant applications settled, you are sitting at 12%. This really goes to show the poor performance of the department, and this is totally not satisfactory. I would appreciate if you can be able to speak to these figures as to what actually led to the department achieving such low figures in terms of giving support to rural communities and rural programs. I thank you. Honorable Minister, Honorable DG.
I would ask the team to start first, Chairperson, and then I will end.
Okay, Honorable Minister. Officials of the department.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, let me start at the end. There are specific answers that the chairperson requires in response to very specific questions. Let us offer to provide those answers in writing to the chairperson. The second one, chairperson, is that evidently the committee is unhappy with the performance as reflected in part in terms of how performance ratings is done in terms of the rating model that national government departments follow in terms of the standard set by the Department of Performance Monitoring. And it brings to the question that Honorable Muntwedi asked, what is the relationship between the performance information and budget expenditure? Obviously, there is not going to be a relationship between performance versus budget expenditure. If your performance rating, if you achieve 99% of your targets, and that counts for nothing, that counts for zero in terms of your performance measurement, 99% of your performance will cost you quite a lot of money to implement. But if you get measured that anything below 99% accounts for zero, there is not going to be a relationship. Hence, the department achieved 30% of the total targets. If the members looked in some of the targets that we achieved, we got even up to 90%. Up to 95% of some of the targets. Some of the targets, we miss them by one. But because they are not 100%, they are accounted for in terms of the measurement rating as zero. So we are going to continuously have this challenge because when we fall short of one or two or 10% below 100%, the rating is going to rate us as zero. Let me hasten to say, Chairperson, there are areas where we could have done much more better, and we are not going to try and explain ourselves. We can only commit to do much better in those areas where we have failed, like in the area of the FPSUs, the number of FPSUs that are functional. We can only improve on the restitution process. We can only improve on the number of labor tenant claims that we settle. We can only improve in the program of rural development for rural enterprises, because those are the issues that affect people in that are most needy of the services of the department. We can only plead for that. Then there are specific questions, Chairperson, that relate to the finances, and I'm going to ask both the DDG Rendani and the CD Violet to deal with those. But I just want to deal with the last one, the issue of the 1.3 billion. Chairperson, it has come up from Honorable Stein, Honorable Muntwedi. Where exactly this has come from. With respect, Chairperson, we will respond to this question, although we have responded to it in writing. When we were asked about it, we have answered it several times. The minister has responded to it. We will respond to it again. We did say that the program of land development support, which was going to be funding the stimulus package, got delayed in terms of implementation until we received the approval, which meant that there was this surplus of 1.3 billion rand, which was then reprioritized with the request of National Treasury. Now, to Honorable Muntwedi, there are 146 farmers who are benefiting from 400 million rand of that 1.3 billion, 146 farmers. The extent of the land that is being supported there is 216,000 hectares in all nine provinces. We can also provide the breakdown in per province in terms of where that money is going. With regard to the land bank, we have not transferred monies to the land bank to offset the shortfalls at the land bank. The monies that we have transferred to the land bank, we have transferred them on the basis of agreements as both departments. But as we have said, where we had challenges with the land bank, the monies have reverted back to the department, and we will continue to implement that. That deals in part with the 1.3 billion rand. Honorable Steyn, I'm not quite too sure which is this information that Honorable Steyn has repeatedly requested, which we have not provided. I would really appreciate it if we can be provided again, perhaps for the last time, Honorable Steyn, so that we know exactly what is this information that has not been provided, so that we can do our utmost best to respond. Honorable Briet, the functional agri-parks, FPSUs, I think about four meetings ago, we were asked this question. We provided that information, but we will provide it again. And we did say that one of the functional FPSUs is in the Free State. We can provide that information. I will ask DDG Rendani on the measures that we have put in place on the payment of 100% for within 30 days of all invoices. Violet on the rollovers, if there were any rollovers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I see the hand of Land Claims Commissioner, Umam Koboto. If you can also note a DG.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I would attempt to answer those that relate to finance. There was a question on the issue of Treasury allowing payments after year end for a few weeks. That would apply where we're using the accrual basis. The department uses modified cash standards. So 31 March, anything that is not paid goes into accrual. There is no allowance to be able to pay after the year end. On whether we have asked for rollovers, the Treasury regulations indicate which items you can ask for rollover on. And those would be the capital expenditure for which the project is still running. So here, we did not ask for rollover because most of the money that was left was for operational expenditure, and therefore we couldn't ask. But however, all that money that was not spent, we then ask for Treasury to retain that money to use it for COVID-19, for which the approval was granted, and it's part of the 1.2 billion that has been used for COVID-19 issues. There was no money that was sent back to Treasury. We used all the money. On the issue of the 30 days, we have regressed this year compared to other years. However, we ended at 95%.
And the biggest problem was sitting with Allah, which the Honorable Minister indicated when she started, because that's where we're sitting at 52%. Those issues have been sorted in Allah. I am certain that in the new year, they would perform much better because the problems that were there have been resolved. But over and above that, we've got the invoice tracking system, a system that has been implemented. We have realized that we did not conduct change management training for people to now get used to using the system, because it does fast track the approval and the payment of invoices. So we have instructed the team finance to ensure that every senior manager should go through that training of change management and to now change their mindset regarding using system to enhance service delivery. We're hoping it was supposed to start beginning of the financial year, and because we were not working during the beginning and we are still not allowed to gather, we have asked the team to assist us if we can't be running this training over the system to try and improve the way we do. I think those were the questions that the accounting officer did not deal with. The rest of those that are impacting on finance, he had answered. Thanks.
Chair, you have acknowledged the Chief Land Claims Commissioner.
Yes. Mankoboto, please go ahead.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, DG and colleagues. I just wanted to respond to the query that you raised, Chair, around the performance of the Commission. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, can you repeat that? You were cutting.
Okay.
I was saying
I wanted to respond to the issue that the Chair raised around the performance of the Commission. And to specifically say, Chair, that I wanted to state on record that perhaps you read the figures incorrectly, because in terms of our report, the 76% that you made reference to was, and the 74% and the 62% was the overall performance of the Commission as it related to quarter three at that point in time. However, if we looked at the performance of quarter three of the Commission, we performed 141% for settlement and 96% for finalized. And then in terms of quarter four, again, we overachieved by 126% and 190% for quarter four. And then the overall achievement, if you look at the end of the year, we achieved all our targets, 102% for settled and 108% for finalized, which means that we were able to recover in quarter three and four and overall perform 100% in terms of the train future.
No, thank you, Mamu Koboto. I was reading on a particular slide, and I'm happy that you corrected the figures, because that's the figure that I was listing up for a slide, so I might have read it wrong. Thank you for outlining that.
Chairperson, I'm not sure that I can come in.
Yes, go ahead, Mamu Didis.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks to the members for the issues that they've raised, as well as their observation. There was a pointed question asked by Honorable Steyn. Can myself or the DG or anybody else actually say that you are happy about the performance? Surely I don't think anybody will be happy when the performance is not what is expected, particularly in terms of goal set and not being achieved as one would have liked. So That is why the DG in his response was saying, we will seek to continuously improve where we are found wanting. Chairperson, there is an issue that was raised by Honorable Mutwendi in respect of the moratorium. I just want to indicate that with respect to the moratorium on administration, it wasn't a decision of the minister. It was actually the decision of the DPSA in terms of those departments that were merging. However, we were allowed to fill those critical posts. And the reasons for that was to make sure that we do not bloat the system when we're actually going through a reconfiguration. That is why if you look at our reconfiguration, as I indicated earlier, we've been able to accommodate all the staff. Secondly, Chairperson, in the areas where appointments were not made, were those areas where there's the duplication of functions between the old Dr. DLR and the old DAF. So I just wanted to explain that. Secondly, even within that, as indicated, we still did allow for the filling of critical posts on other line-related functions of the department. Chairperson, on the issue of 1 hectare, 1 household, indeed I agree with you that we can actually make better on that program to ensure that as much as it's possible, we actually address those communities and those households to ensure that they deal with issues of food insecurity. Chairperson, with regards to the labor tenants, I just want to remind members that there was a judgment that actually changed the dynamic in terms of what we would do as a department. So part of the work that we had to do was to appoint the master as well as the critical staff that the master needed. And the court actually had asked the master to present a plan to court on how the labor tenants matters in terms of the land acquisition and transfer will be handled. And I'm sure we did report to this committee that we are not pleased about that, because actually on that program we are kind of like in administration. So what we had put as a target, after that court judgment, we couldn't proceed because we had to make sure that we comply with the court order, and the master, Professor Levine was then appointed, and he had to do the consultation with the department, our provinces, as well as the relevant non-government organizations that work with the labor tenants that took us to court. So I just want to indicate why there is an underspending, particularly on that program. The master will now be working with us on the implementation plan that would have been agreed to by the Land Claims Court, Chairperson. I hope that does deal with the issues that have been raised. The other issue raised by Honorable Mutwendi in respect of the land bank, the DG has explained partly. We have not put money in the land bank to deal with their liquidity issues, even to deal with the status of the land bank in terms of the downgrade. When we agreed on the COVID intervention and locating that money in the bank, it was an agreement with Treasury. But indeed, Treasury and the land bank have come back to us to say, let's take the 100 million because the status of the bank as it stands is not going to be able to accommodate that amount. So the money has not been spent by the land bank. However, what we've agreed is that the land bank is going to go back to those farmers in distress, assess them in terms of their criteria, and then indicate to us as the department those farmers that are successful, and then they will be paid from that resource. I thought I needed to clarify that, because that money has not been spent by the land bank, nor has it been made to shoulder the bank in the problems that it is experiencing. Chairperson, I want to again come back to the matter of the FPS youth and agri-parks, which we dealt with when we started in this sixth administration, that indeed commitments for this program was made. We agreed the program will continue, but we also agreed that there were certain things that were not done in a manner that would allow us to achieve the desired impact. Part of the delay, unfortunately, is about dealing with those issues. Issues that you yourself, Chairperson, and the members actually highlighted to us from the beginning, where you yourselves in your oversight that you did pointed to us that in certain areas it was just a fence. There was no activity that was happening. So I just want to indicate that yes, we might be slower in the way in which we are doing that correction, but it is in the interest of trying to address the issues that you yourselves as the committee have raised with us. So I just thought it's important for me to respond to some of those issues that Chairperson, you yourself has raised. And in respect of the information which Honorable Steyn have indicated that has not come forth, that has been requested to the
Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will follow on those issues of responses that members are raising concerns that we have not responded to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mamoudou Diza, and the DG and officials of the department for the presentation, and also for giving answers to the questions of clarity posed by the honorable members. We would like to request that you send the answers to the questions back to the committee in writing, so that we can be able to have it for our records no later than next week, Wednesday, close of business day. Let us proceed then, honorable members, with the presentation by the Ingonyama Transport. I will now take the opportunity to hand over to the chairperson of Ingonyama Transport,
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to all honorable members, the minister, and all official present. The Chairperson has already noted the delegation from ITB, which includes three Yamakosi, Nkosi Kumede, Nkosi Bele, and Nkosi Mavundla. Mr. Shabalala has just walked out. And the acting CEO, Mr. Kabela. Chairperson, our presentation will be done by the acting CEO, Mr. Kabela, and we will fill in where necessary. We have noted the time constraint, and without further ado, Chairperson, I respectfully request Mr. Kabela to proceed with the presentation with your permission.
Thank you, Judge Gwenya. Paul Kabela, you may proceed.
Thank Chairperson, greetings, honorable members, minister, colleagues, senior management of the department. We'll try, Chair, to run as quickly as we can. We are going to...
Sorry, Bob Kabela. Can I request all honor...
Hi, Chair. Can I continue, Chair?
Please continue.
Thanks, Chair. I was just alluding to the fact that we've got three different categories of our presentation. Quarter three reports, quarter four reports, and also some response to additional information which was contained in the letter we received from the Portfolio Committee. So in quarter three, we had a plan that we were going to do one policy. However, we did zero due to delays in consultation that were taking place internally. Hence, then the policies were then shifted to the last quarter. Then, Chair, you notice then that the acquired assets that you receive, we've captured them timely on the asset register. And also there is a IT solution that was supposed to be implemented for the quarter, but that was done in the second quarter. We also had three trainings that we targeted to do, but we only managed to do two due to inadequate resources and internal failures to plan timely. What we then put as a mitigation plan was to say at the last quarter we'll have a proper schedule of all our trainings. Payment of undisputed invoices, all was achieved. We plan to have one communication strategy at a draft level. That was also achieved. Yeah? Furthermore, under the land tenure rights approved, we plan to have 200, but we managed therefore to approve 230. And we continually then update our land holding register. The target for the quarter was one, and we achieved that one. When it comes to TC support, we plan to provide support to at least 11 different TCs, but we were unable to do so due to lack of financial and human resources. Then the command then at the end of the third quarter was that we discontinue with this due to fine funds and human capital. And this then will then be reinstated in a new financial year, which is currently where we are. We plan then to support about 50 beneficiaries with educational support or bursaries, but we're unable to process this. But we have now since, according to the mitigation plan at the third quarter, consolidated all these requests with the aim of achieving all of them at the end of a fourth quarter. I'll now, Chair, going to just zoom quickly to expenditures for the third quarter relating to the board. For administration, the third quarter budget was 13 million, but we were able to spend 11 million. Furthermore, Chair, on goods and service, we had a budget of 3.6 million. We spent about 3.5 in that quarter. Then for employee compensation, we had 9.8 million, but we spent 7.8. So this is just checking the economic classification of where the money for goods and service was spent on to that total amount of 3.5. Then just the IT. On the IT side then, we budgeted to spend on corporate services and financial administration 4.7 million, but we spent only 529,000. On land and telemetment services, the budget there was 25 million, but the actual expenditure was only 3.7 million. On TC support, the budget for third quarter was 5 million, but we spent 451,000. So this is the IT goods and service expenditure, Chair, as per what we did for the board. And this is the list then of the items which make up that 4.6 million on goods and services under the Ingwenyama Trust. Chair, I'll quickly now move on quarter four performance. In quarter four on policies, we had two policies that we wanted to do, but we did zero. But we say that then we had three policies that were at the draft stage. That was the ICT, fleet management, and the credit control and debt management. These then are being discussed with the accounting authority. And if all goes well with the COVID and the lockdown, we should be able then to have them approved in the second quarter of this financial year. The assets then that were procured were properly registered. Vacant position, we did not have any there that were filled. The IT solution, as I said earlier, it was done earlier due to the urgency of having that protection. So hence here we do not have any, but it was achieved on the second quarter. The training for quarter four was 3 years well, Chair, but zero was achieved. Then we say that as a reason is that we had identified trainings to empower our employees, but implementation of same took longer. This was further compounded by the capacity incapacity. Now we are busy implementing and unfolding various training programs, informal and formal so, to all our employees. Payment of anticipated invoices, Chairperson, at the moment we are indeed paying timely. We targeted to have an approved compensation strategy in the fourth quarter. However, we are busy with the draft that we are looking at. And we feel that that should be then approved now in the third quarter of the financial year due to a number of consultation with a number of stakeholders that's supposed to take place before we can have a proper communication strategy for the ITP. So in terms of the land rights, we targeted 200, but we approved 725. Also on the land holding register, it was updated as per the target of one. On the TC side, Chairperson, we had 12 training that we targeted for the TC support, but then we said that, as we said earlier, that we did not have funds in the third quarter. This then means this is an unfunded expense that cannot be provided in the budget. But then the trust from its limited resources has made money available to finalize the process to appoint a training coordinator and also facilitators who are going to support and assist the board in rolling out a proper training to all TCs. On the educational award of bursaries, Chair, as we said previously that this was not achieved in the third quarter. Also, in the fourth quarter, it was not achieved because now we were busy reconciling all the list of beneficiaries that we received. And at the time then that we were about to process those, we were then the country was under disaster and lockdown. Hence, we were unable to get some confirmation from some universities in terms of their payments, methods, and accounts. But we are then going to reactivate this currently as we open up now in the level 3 alert. Chair, on expenses then, for the fourth quarter, ITP administration side, we have a budget of 26 million and we spend about 10.6 million there. While on goods and services, we had 3.4 million as a budget, but we spent about 2.6 million. On employees, then the budget was about 23 million, and we spent about 8 million rand. This is the listing then that makes up those goods and services expenses in terms of the economic classification. On the IT side, Chairperson, corporate services and financial administration, the budget there was 26 million. We only spent about 2 million. On the land and tenant management services, 45 million, spent about only 1 million. TC support, as indicated on the performance side, we had 5 million, but we spent 1 million on the other support that you provide to the TCs. Furthermore, Chair, then this is the goods and services for the trust. The budget was 66 million. We spent about 4 million. Then also there was a capital expenditure that we budgeted for of 10 million, but ended up spending about 38,000. This is the listing then that makes up the goods and services amount. Then, Chair, now I'm just going to zoom into part C, which is the last part of our presentation, which relates to some of the information that were indicated on the letter that we received from the Portfolio Committee. There was indication that you need to speak about service delivery performance and financial reports. We commend to saying that the financial reports of Ingonyama Transport are tabled before the National Parliament annually. Also, the board presents its quarterly reports to the Portfolio Committee. We further say that, of note, the trust nor the board does not get any funds for service delivery related issues. Further state that the community projects which the trust makes contribution to are funded from the small amounts that the trust then collects. Therefore, it should be noted that the expectation for the ITP, which is the board, to facilitate any service delivery project should in the main be accompanied by the necessary funding. On the issue of providing detailed account of material benefits accruing to the people living on the IT land, say the benefits then to communities differ from situation to situation, and also this is dependent on the availability of financial resources. At this stage then, the greatest challenge is the protection of communal land against expropriation either for municipal property rights or generally without compensation. The trustee, His Majesty, is duty bound to act on the best interest of the beneficiaries. Chair, there was also a request to provide an update on the audit improvement plan or strategy. We note that the thrust of the AG's findings were around non-compliances with relevant prescripts, which then led to ITP incurring irregular expenditure. So that those loopholes then have been identified. As a result, then the board has commissioned a forensic investigation and furthermore placed executive management on special leave. Internally, Chairperson, also we have put some interim controls to assist to ensure compliance with all applicable prescripts to the ITP. The other findings, Chairperson, on the AG report relates mostly on legal interpretation of acts, and that then is subject for discussion in another time. The Department Chair has also assisted ITP in addressing a number of these findings that were identified by the Auditor General. Lastly, Chairperson, there was a request then that we need to comment on the BRRR of 2019 as issued on 16 October. So the board then is of a view that the recommendations contained in the report are legislative driven and thus they are outside the realm and the competency of the board. That said, Chairperson, the board is willing and available to make necessary inputs as these processes then of legislative nature unfolds. I thank you very much, Chair. I think I tried to do it in the allocated time frame.
Judge Gwenya, ukhona okunye ufuna ukwengeza?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we will take. I'm not going to be adding anything for now, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson of ITB, Ubao Judge Ngwenya, as well as the acting CEO, Ubao Kabela. Honorable members, there's the presentation put to you by the Ngonyama Transport. Any questions, Honorable Tape?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, let me welcome the indication from the Minister earlier on during her opening remarks of the engagement that they are having with Ngonyama Transport and the continuation thereof before the end of June. I think, Minister, that suffices on previous concerns that we have raised as a committee. And that will also pave way on issues that we have always raised and contested in this portfolio, especially on the role or the intention for establishment of the Ngonyama Transport. Chair, my question based on that will then go to programs, the implementation thereof, and the expenditure. Quarter three expenditure, Chair, of 13.53% across all the programs. My question on this one is, what are systems has been put in place by Ngonyama Trust for funds that were not used? What is going to happen to that? And the concern here is that the funds were not used for the intended purpose because only 13.53% could be spent across the board. What systems have they put in place or what are they intending doing with the funds that were not spent? There's also, Chair, an indication via traditional community or traditional council support. Expenditures percent of the total goods and service budget, it has declined from 49% in quarter two to 9% in quarter three and 20 in quarter four. If this area, Chair, is one of the of that one that relates to material benefits of administration of Ngonyama Trust land, could the board explain why such a decrease in the expenditure? The last point, Chair, will be on the drastic decrease in the expenditure for administration. And I applaud the consequence management that the acting CEO indicates, that because of loopholes, there's commissioned for forensic investigation and managers are on shift, executive managers. Obviously, they're still on the payroll. My concern is that with the expenditure of 34%, there's something going on that needs to be explained. We don't want the board to collapse. What is happening? Why the 34% expenditure? And how is the ITV now running its affairs when this management has been placed on leave? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tape. Honorable Mahlatsi.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got only three questions. One, when we... Firstly, let me make this particular statement, Chair. In our first, during the Auditor General's report, we agreed in principle that whenever we deal with quarterly reports, we will also deal with issues of audit, inclusive of risk management. And I don't see the risk management process coming forth. It's only the remedial actions of the Auditor General that are coming through. So I would just want to make that particular request that as we deal with issues of the quarterly reports, we also look into that. Now, Chair, I just want to find out from the board in relation to the special leave of executive. Are they, does this special leave means that they are on full salary payment? If yes, I want to check also what are the suspected transgressions of this particular executive and how many are they and who are they? Two, Chair, there was one slide where we are speaking about, I think it was page 27, slide 27, if I'm not mistaken, where the presenter indicated that there were programs that were planned but were not budgeted for. This is when I want to rise with the minister that there's a serious the meeting that I would support with the board is also on management of the institution. Because it's common cause that you can't plan for something that you have not budgeted for. It's not possible. On issue of traditional councils, okay, there was 1.7 million that was planned or that has been disbursed for workshops. But there was no training. What was the money used for? Equally, on the 1.4 million for bursaries, have those bursaries been dispersed? If not, why? And if not, where was, why is the 1.4 million? So I also want to support the perspective that says we allow the minister to deal with these particular issues because seemingly when, especially when it comes to management of the board, I think there are challenges with basic principles of what governance means in as far as the board is concerned and in as far as governance policies are concerned. So can we, they meet, merge issues because really we cannot honestly and truly go on where monies are spent and there is no clarity in terms of what is actually happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mashtazi. Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also would like to thank the Minister for informing us that she met with the Ingonyama Trust Board yesterday. Chair, and I think we need to get constant updates or regular updates of what is happening with that. Chairperson, because I am still not sure about this discussion regarding the role of the Trust Board compared to the role of the Ingonyama state land and the role of the King in all of this. It is very confusing. It is causing a lot of problems, and I think that is the main reason why we can't move forward regarding the trust land, Chairperson. So I would like to find out from the question regarding the disciplinary process of the staff that were put on special leave, if we have some feedback on that. I am not sure if that was covered with the discussion with the minister yesterday. Then, Chairperson, a question that I asked last time, and it just seems that we can't really get to the bottom of that, is that 113 million rand that was budgeted for land tenure management. I remember I asked that question last time, and there was a bit of a mention about what land tenure management is all about. I would like to find out if the board has a policy regarding land tenure management, a policy regarding rental, selling, and so forth. And this is linked to the question that I asked last time on the if the land is surveyed or not, because it would make it quite impossible to have a policy regarding how do you manage that, the land itself, if it's not surveyed, it's not correctly registered, Chairperson. My other question is also regarding the court cases. And I'm not in KwaZulu-Natal and I don't always follow all the news regarding that. But I'm concerned, Chair, that when we ask questions, you know, a lot of the answers would be, but it's, you know, there's a court case going on. They can't answer certain questions regarding the court case. Would it be possible for us to get maybe some kind of a list of idea of what the court cases is about? Is it internal issues regarding staff? Is it external issues regarding people living on Ingonyama Trust land? There was mention earlier about a mine dispute and all of that. So, Chairperson, I think it will also assist this committee to understand what is the issues regarding communities and the Ingonyama Trust board on the land. I will stop there, Chair. There's quite a lot of questions that I have, but I would rather stop there to see how can we move. I just want to say lastly, Chairperson, I've been reading back on previous reports from the Portfolio Committee, and this is issues that's coming for a very, very long time. So I really hope, Chair, that after the meeting with the minister in June, to get to some kind of a understanding of the role and the legislation, that we can solve these issues, Chair, because I've been visiting some community members that live on Ingonyama Trust land, and the communities themselves is very unsure of their role. What is their right on the land, Chair, and we're discussing land reform and land redistribution, but people living on Ingonyama Trust themselves, they are unsure of development of the land. If they develop the land, what will happen to it? Can someone just take it away? So I think, Chairperson, we really need to get to some kind of agreement of what is the role of the trust and the board regarding that land. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Stein. Ntate Matias, Honorable Matias.
Honorable Chair, you and
go
I
ahead,
seem to be sitting, we are sitting in the dark, I don't know why. Look, Honorable Chair, I welcome the report, but the report, just like the previous presentation, lacks much to be desired. And it would be failing in our constitutional responsibilities and obligations to say the least that this report is a disappointment. Year in and year out, we've been receiving reports of administrative failures in the Ingonyama Trust Board, officials been put on leave, others been suspended and all of that. And we are getting a report that in an attempt to turn around the situation at the Ingonyama Trust Board, it recommends to institute forensic investigation. The question is, who are they going to investigate? Do you send the police to investigate themselves, or rather, do you send serial offenders to investigate themselves, or you find external investigative agencies to do that? I recommend that the department must instruct the ITB not to investigate itself, but the department must send a team of investigators, forensic investigators, to investigate the situation and report to the Portfolio Committee. Secondly, I recommend that to avoid lots of money that is spent on bureaucracy, the Ingonyama Trust Board and its operation organs, especially the administrative organs, there must be some intervention that is made that they don't continue to appoint their own staff as it has been the case in the past. The Department of Agriculture, Rural, Land Reform and Rural Development must recommend or second officials who shall work in the ITB, people who shall be loyal first and foremost to the Republic and to the people of this country, and who shall be accountable to the Director General and report to Parliament. If the ITB is an entity of the department, I guess that with these experiences of lapses of what's supposed to happen and all of that, it has shown again and again that they are incapable of running their own affairs. The department must recommend officials that shall work there and account on regular basis. I see no at any time soon that the Ngwenyama Trust will overcome its problems. And these problems have been reported by the high panel by the former President Kgalema Motlanthe. That one, they don't comply with the financial reporting framework prescribed by Public Financial Management Act. They procure goods and services willy-nilly without inviting competitive bidders. They are continuous disgracers and all sorts of things. And I think there is conflict of interest both between members of the board and these functionaries, whether is it the CEO or the CFO or whoever working for ITB. There's a conflict of interest, and I don't see ITB resolving this problem. I see it as a leaking vessel. It's a Titanic which is going to sink at any time soon because of irregularities and all of that in the department. I recommend that we take away certain powers of the ITB, and such powers must be placed with the department in order to save this leaking vessel. Thank you so much.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I have noted some few comments and questions, Chair, on this presentation. The first one, Chair, I'm reminded that on the second quarter, ITB did not achieve any of the targets, their targets on the training of traditional counsel. That is the second quarter, third quarter, and now the fourth quarter. They did not achieve any. That is really worrying for me. I've also, Chair, picked up a situation. In fact, I've also picked up that on the second quarter, the ITB reported to the committee that their annual target on the tenure rights, the annual target is 1,200. That's what the report says. But now on the third and fourth quarter of the same year, their annual target is 1,000 of tenure rights. And out of that 1,000, they have achieved 955 in total. Both, I'm adding both, Chair, the 230 that they achieved on the third quarter and the 725 of the last quarter. That is 955. I'm just wondering, Chair, can the IT be explained to us what happened to the initial target, which was 1,200 that they reported, by the way, on the second quarter? Where did it fall? If it fell off, Chair. And also, Chair, Chair, I would like to pose this question, which was never actually even attempted to be answered when they were presenting this. I'm posing it again, Chair. Based on these targets of 1,200, I asked what informed the decision to plan to approve 1,200 e-tenure rights. And how many are these residential leaseholds? Can ITB actually perhaps send a list or a number to the committee, just to inform the committee, out of this 1,200, or now 1,000, this is the list of residential leaseholds, Chair. Lastly, Chairperson, on the third quarter, which is page 13, it's reported that there are legal fees of more than 112,000. That amounts to 112,000. And on the last quarter, the legal fees amounts to more than 1,700 million. I would like to concur with Honorable Stay. If we are a committee that will be holding the entity accountable for the public money, can the ITB submit a list of all these legal cases that they are paying for these legal fees without divulging or getting or without talking or can you, giving us more information? Because lastly, Chair, when we asked this, yes, Chair, we asked this when I asked this lastly, Chair, who advocate Ngwenya said Judge Ngwenya, sorry, Chair. Sorry, Judge. Can we really get the list, Chair? Due to time, Chair, I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mbata.
Chairperson, thank you. I think most of the things have been covered, but I just want to get the progress on the issue of the people's executive management that is placed on special leave. It's for how long and when will it end? Because we don't want to pay people while for a long time, whilst at the end we are wasting the government. I mean the funds. These are government funds. I think the rest have been covered by the fellow members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Priet.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see I'm also a bit in the dark here. I think the Free State is getting dark very soon. Let me see if I can put it lighter. There we go. Chairperson, I think a lot of the colleagues have covered my questions to an extent as well. I would like to thank the ITB for their audit action plan. I think it seems as if they are really serious about getting things on track and performing well in their audit outcomes. So I hope to see an improvement, and I hope to see that all their plans come to fruition. Chairperson, just speaking in terms of consequence management and the number of staff that has been suspended, and I know we have mentioned that, just to get more details with regard to the suspensions, how many and for for what serious offences, I think the right word is, and what is the time frame in this regard? How are we handling these suspensions, and what I would assume is investigations and disciplinary actions, especially taking into account COVID-19 has now sidetracked all of our plans. What is ITB's plans to actually handle that? And maybe I think I might have missed it, Chairperson, but I am quite worried at the underspending of ITB, specifically if you look on slide 11, speaking to corporate and financial administration, which we see in the third quarter was only 11% of the finances spent, goods and services as well, only 13.5% spent, and if I remember correctly, that is a bit more was spent within the fourth quarter, but still it is below 50%. If they can maybe just provide reasons why they did underspend, and how will they actually going forward and going into a new financial year actually up their spending to properly ensure service delivery and getting their targets met perfectly. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that is all from my side.
Thank you, my friend. Ndabezitha inkosi ecebekhulu.
Chairperson.
Inkosi
ecebekhulu. Yes, Chair. Mine, Chairperson, is on the assistance of the communities with regards to plowing. Remember, I once raised the issue of the tractors that were placed in the areas of Amakhosi assisting in agricultural projects. I'm still having that question, although the judge sort of repelled it last time that it was not part of the report. I'm so concerned, Chairperson, looking at the necessity for our people out there to start plowing. In some areas where plowing is taking place currently. So the content that I have is just around that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Ndabezitha. Honorable Maso.
Chairperson, firstly, I would like to apologize for getting late into the meeting due to connections. But my question, Chairperson, will be around the number of traditional counsel to be trained, which I think it was about 45. The number is higher than the number planned for the training programs of the year. In the training of the traditional counsels, part of the 10 training programs is the training that they've planned is that traditional counsels, part of the 10 training programs that they have. That is question number one. My question number two, Honorable Chair, is with regards to the three expenditures item totaling to 2,170,522.18 cents. And this account for about 60% of the third quarter expenditure. And if you add 330,589.56 of the board as related to expenses, it then bring us closer to 69.5%, Honorable Chair, of the total expenditure. I don't think it's justifiable to spend close to 70% of your expenditure. Budget on the board fees and the board-related cost. Is the board looking into this higher expenditure cost? That is question number two. Question number three, Chair, with due respect, what is the total number of land tenure rights approved by the board? Is it 1525 or 1,000? Those are the questions that I wanted the board to clarify me on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maso. Last but not least, Honorable Montwedi. Ntate Montwedi.
Please don't forget me too, Chair. After Montwedi.
Oh, Honorable Mbabama, you joined us. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Montuedi. I see you, Mam Babama. Honorable Mbabama.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I have joined just before the Dingonyama Trust did their presentation. Chair, I'd like us to take us a little bit back. The chairperson here to Nkosi Zwelivelile Mandela on the 9th of October 2019 asked for clarity regarding the 10% fee that went to the board and the 90% that is supposed to go back to the community. He asked the trust to submit a five-year report that detailed what had been given back to the communities and traditional councils. I have not seen this report as yet. And I would like to ask Judge Ngwenya how far this report is and when he envisages us receiving the report. And I'd also like to say, Chair, that after Judge Ngwenya has responded, if he does not give us a specific date, then I think it would be prudent for you to actually give him a time frame in order to have that report given to us. And then also the expenditure of the Ingonyama Trust reflected in the third and fourth quarter report does not comply with the provisions of the Ingonyama Trust's financial regulations, which provide that only 10% of the trust's income may be used for administration. I would like Ingonyama Trust to clarify why they are not adhering to this. Because you will find that in my reading, it is very clear from their own Ingonyama Trust financial regulations that it does stipulate there that they must use only 10% for, you know, day-to-day expenses, but otherwise 90% must go back to the community. I would also like to know, what does the land tenure management budget comprise of? If I'm not mistaken, budget for this in the latest report shows as about 113.6 million. I would like a detailed report or a full breakdown to be provided on what this land tenure management budget comprises of from the Ngonyama Trust. Okay, training of traditional councils has already been asked, so I won't go into that. I think my last question would be, the ITB must explain why the third and fourth quarterly reports tabled today fail to show the income of the Ingonyama Trust. Where are the details of this income? And is the ITB, as the designated accounting authority of the Ingonyama Trust, ensuring that the Ingonyama Trust is in compliance with the PFMA? I'm just looking at my notes, Chair. And my last question is, how is the ITB managing the trust obligations to the municipalities that are in the area of jurisdiction of the trust? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbabama. If I can just sponsor also a few questions of clarity. Within the ITB, it is my understanding, Honorable Minister, that you ought to be represented there. I therefore would like to understand from the ITB who represents the minister within the board of the ITB. Also, it is my understanding that in terms of the traditional councils that have been given training, can you identify which traditional councils have been given training and at what cost? And in terms of the support given to communities, as Honorable Mbabama alludes to a previous meeting we have requested, on the breakdown on the projects that have been supported by Ingonyama Trust. If I am correct, Honorable Mbabama, we had requested the ITB to present this on the 12th of May. But due to the challenges of lockdown and having to readjust to a virtual meetings, we can be able to check with the Secretariat as to when is the soonest date we have available to engage on these issues, because we would like to ascertain if the monies that have been levied on behalf of communities have been able to be utilized in those communities. I would therefore like that to be attended at a later date announced by the Secretariat according to our programs. But also, it seems that we are seeing difficulty in terms of getting some kind of indication on what the communities are getting of real benefit to them. So I would like the ITB to be able to illustrate exactly what if Unkosi Gumede in his area would be actually benefiting out of the ITB. But you also speak of the bursary programs that you run for youth within the area of Ingonyama Trust. Can you be able to finish the committee with the list of bursaries that you have provided for the past 5 years? What the field of study those bursary students or beneficiaries have been focusing on, and how many have been able to graduate through your bursary program? And having graduated, what are those youth located in today in terms of being of assistance to the traditional communities that they come from? Have they been able to effectively give support to the traditional councils that you support? But then on issues of governance within the ITB, the attendance of board meetings, is that recorded? And how are the attendees remunerated for their time in attending such meetings? The cost of the board fees, if we can get an indication in that regard. But it seems that we are seeing a decrease in expenditure in quarter four. What's the explanation of that? And I think maybe the Honorable Minister can indicate in terms of the interministerial task team that was constituted to look into the issues of Ingonyama Trust Board. How far are they as to date? Because from my own understanding, they have not been able to have a meeting, whether with the Ingonyama Trust Board, nor with the trustee, the sole trustee being His Majesty, King Zwelithini. So we would like to understand as to the work of the Interministerial Committee, what they've been able to achieve thus far. I think, Honorable Members, that is all on my side. May we hand back to the chairperson of the ITB, Uchachi Ngwenya, as well as the acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have noted there are a number of questions. I hope time will permit that we deal with them.
So we have about 15 minutes before we adjourn the meeting. So those questions that haven't been answered, we will ask for them to be answered in writing. Judge
Ngwenya,
you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if I listen to the questions as asked, in particular, I want to touch first on the Honourable Member Mbata and Honorable Mbabama, because the question is somewhat interrelated in the sense that the assumption is that the projects that the ITB commits itself to are the projects that are funded by government, and Honorable Mbata says that this is government funds. It should be obvious from all the records that you have, even the budget review of October last year, you make reference of the amount that has been voted in previous years, growing steadily from 19 million up to 22 million. That amount, which is what members of your Honorable Committee Chairperson a part of appropriation, could hardly push any community project. In fact, the money from the state disappeared from to the administration before we can do anything. It's lesser than what the budget of the ITB is. So everything else that we are talking about here, that is money generated as a result of land use by the ITB, by the trust. In particular, Chair, from other questions that you have raised, even now among other things you say, is that there are monies that are levied to the communities. We don't collect those monies. What is called tribal taxes is collected currently by COCTA of the province. We don't know what they do with that. So I want to be very clear before this committee that what we are talking about is the money that the trust generates from either leases or servitude or royalties. So everything else should revolve around that. And then this drives me to the question which says, what is the ITB or the trust rather going to do with the monies that are not used? That's a valid question. But members of this committee, Chairperson, know fully well every year that one of the requirements during the audit is that Ingonyama Trust must provide for contingent liability on municipal rates. Until that issue of who pays the rates of municipalities is resolved, we will keep on over years moving in circles, because just 2 weeks back, one of the headlines in the Mercury was government entities owe Ethekwini municipalities over 600 million rand. Those government institutions are not mentioned except Ingonyama Trust, to say Ingonyama Trust is owing 186 million rand. So So what we are saying is, with all the municipalities in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the trust, simply because it's a registered landowner, in most municipalities must make provisions for municipal rates once the issues are resolved. If the trust has no money, it can be liquidated as being insolvent. Because I stress this, Chairperson, because most questions revolve around the board has got no competence, it must be dissolved, it does not know whether it's coming or going, and it's wasting the state money. That is not the case. I am not going to deal with the reason for the existence of the trust and so on. At this stage, I'm pleased that the Honorable Minister is present here, but there could be a different time where we can make an input on that. But what I wish to say, Chairperson, is that with regards to the performance, I would partly leave this to Mr. Gabela, but what I do want to say is that we are told by this committee that we are not following the provisions of the PFMA, but no specific reference of that is brought to our attention. Neither do we find that in the audited financials on yearly basis which are presented to this committee. The new format, one of the difficulties, because I think Honorable Matati spoke about the risk report that must be provided. The difficulty that we normally have is that the Treasury will provide a template of how we should prepare our report. The Portfolio Committee has got its own views, but those views, sometimes we get to know of them like we have today, that we should have provided for that. We do hope, Chairperson, moving forward, that more information will come. So the question of what system for funds that were not used, I've explained that the funds of Ngonyama Trust are not hidden anywhere. What is also, I think, confusing, because the impression is created that Ngonyama Trust is a multi-billion organization. That's not the case. Is because of the system we use. If you look at every financial year, the projection has two components. One component is what they call our accountants straight line accounting. Straight line accounting will give you a higher amount, but that is not actual cash. One can look at any annual report of every year. You'll find that they will say in a year, the income will be 130 million. Of that, you'll find that 100 million rand, for instance, is that straight lining. And then the actual income would be 30 million or so. The reason for that is this. What is called straight line accounting from the accountant, we understand they take the life of a lease, be it a commercial or residential, is 40 years, amortize it, and say if this was to be converted, in other words, it's a 40-year lease, they say if I were to put value in it today, this is what it would be. So what I'm saying is that is always misleading, because I urge the honorable members to look at every financial report of the Ngonyama Trust. You will see that the actual amount we receive in every year, I haven't seen as yet where the actual amount generated per year reaches even 40 million rand. The actual amount would be 30 odd million rand. So the decline in TC support and drastic decrease in administration and the issue of the executive management that has been placed on special leave, maybe that may help the members of this committee, even those who are not present, to explain that. In part, the committee we have picked up on all the reports says don't collect money at all for leases or anything else. It doesn't say where the trust must get money from in substitution of the money that we get. So in other words, we must sit in the trust, receive no money on behalf of the trust, and therefore fail to achieve the mandate, which is the trust, the land must be administered for the material well benefit of the people, because there is no income coming.